Welcome to Central Standard Friday. I'm Charles Ferruza with The Pitch and The Pitch's food blog, Fat City at pitch.com. It is another episode of the Food Critic Show of Central Standard Friday, and I am joined by Gloria Gail Mary Block and the returning from her honeymoon, Emily Ferris. And we're going to tell you about new restaurants, but in the second half of the show, we are going to devote that 30 minutes to eating healthy in Kansas City, and we've got all kinds of ideas about that. I'm one of those people who does make New Year's resolutions, and this year I decided that I would not eat anything for the next 12 months that was fried, deep fried, I should say.
Wow.
The problem has already popped up that I'm writing a story about diners. It's very difficult, you know, to...
Take me with you, Charles, and I'll eat all the fried food for you.
Okay, because it was difficult. I had to make the waitress take the French fries away, but I did sort of accidentally eat one.
Accidentally.
Yes, I don't think I could go a whole year without French fries.
No.
You could not, but you're tiny and thin.
Well, not if I keep eating them.
My doctor said, you know, that's a wonderful resolution. How long can you stick to it?
Right.
You know, Charles, every year I make a crazy resolution. And this year we said, we're going to have baby steps. So we're going to have my husband and I, we could both be a little healthier. Start the day with a full glass of water before anything else.
Good idea.
30 minutes of exercise a day, whether it's walking or whatever, and eat 3 green vegetables a day, and then the rest is fair game.
You know what? I like that. Can you write that down so I can
I will. We can even put it on kcur.org later.
That'd be great. What a wonderful and easy idea to start every day with a big glass of water.
And something we can stick to that's sustainable, and I don't have to cut out any delicious foods like French fries.
Well, and our listeners are welcome to join the conversation at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or send us an email to centralstandard@kcur.org. Or Emily, what is the tweet thing here?
The Twitter handle, the tweet thing is @KCURCST.
All right. Well, we've all got new places to talk about. And Emily, where have you been?
Well, mostly I was eating my way down the West Coast. But when I got back to Kansas City, I went to the Oddly Correct Cafe. So Oddly Correct.
Emily, where is that?
That is at 3940 Main Street, which is actually at the corner of Westport Road and Main. Mm-hmm. And there's new parking there, which is great.
Oh, what used to be in that space? Was that the comic book shop?
I think it was the comic book shop, yes. So it's in the same strip that the Oddly Correct original cafe and roasting facility was. So it's a few doors south of that, so it's on the corner, in a great, beautiful new cafe. And one of the, I think his name is Randy, one of the baristas there made all the furniture, and it's really cool. So the Oddly Correct Cafe, it's a little different than the original space because they are now serving milk drinks. So I had one of the most delicious lattes I've ever had because they are only using Chateau whole milk.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and so I said, are you going to be getting, almond or coconut or something for those of us who don't want to consume a ton of dairy? And they said, only if we can find something that tastes and steams as good as the Chateau whole milk. So that probably means no. But they're doing espresso and pour-overs and Americanos and macchiatos, and you can still buy whole beans. And they have a few food items.
Now, tell us, since we are a food show, what did you taste there?
I actually didn't taste it, but they do, and I've tasted these things before, though. They have scones from Dolce in Prairie Village, and they said they sometimes have little treats from Little Freshy.
Okay.
And they are currently exploring options with Farm to Market Bread Company, which is based here in Kansas City.
Great. And so that is the Oddly Correct Cafe. And again, the address is?
3940 Main Street, and that's at the corner of Westport Road, and they're open Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Wonderful. Mary Block. And by the way, why not say where you are from?
Okay.
Besides St. Louis, obviously.
But. Yes, a long time ago. I have the blog Around the Block at aroundtheblockkc.com. I'm on Facebook, and I write the restaurant guide for the Kansas City Star. And last night, I went to Rye for the first time.
Now, what is the address of Rye?
Rye is at 10551 Mission. It's in Mission Farms, way in the back near the pond.
The former site of the Lakeside Tavern.
Yes, and Boudreaux's and a Mexican place. But I think they've already dispelled all the bad vibes because the place was just packed. People were waiting. They do take reservations, but you wouldn't have been able to just walk in and
Now, this is the restaurant owned by Megan and Colby Geralds, right?
Yes, from Bluestem.
Okay. Well, tell me what you thought of it.
Well, it's regional cuisine, Midwestern food with a flair. They have fried chicken, Charles.
I know. It just occurred to me that I'm eliminating. Well, I might have to have one cheat day.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the fried chicken seemed to be the big seller. There was not a table that I walked by that did not have a huge basket.
Are they doing pan-fried chicken or deep-fried?
I'm assuming it's deep-fried, but
Colby's going to have to call in.
Yes, I did not ask, but just the way it looked, I think it had to be.
Okay.
And they just were, I was sitting right near the open kitchen, and they just kept pulling it out of their big ovens. And, you can get it in different sizes. So you could get two or three pieces or a whole chicken. Mm-hmm. They have what look like fabulous hamburgers, which is on my list for next time.
Beautiful. What did you have?
We had three things at our table. We had the buttered shrimp, which is essentially shrimp and grits.
Okay. It's
very
great.
Similar to what he has at the lounge at Bluestem. Mm-hmm. Fabulous. Mm-hmm. We had baby back ribs, which were quite good. And he has sauces on the table. You know, like at Port Fonda where they're hot sauces? Mm-hmm. Same kind of deal. There was a XXO hot sauce. There was a Royal steak sauce and barbecue sauce. So there was not barbecue sauce on the ribs, but it was right there for the taking.
Did they have a rub on them of some kind?
I'm sure that they did. They had a great flavor. I thought they were a little tough, but they were really a wonderful flavor. And the presentation on the plate was just beautiful. With their own homemade pickles, they had creamed greens and the ribs stacked like Lincoln logs. And then we also tried the fried chicken. So those were the three things, and we had macaroni and cheese as a side.
How was that?
Unbelievably good.
Yeah, they pile on the cheese.
Yeah, but it was creamy.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, sticky. Anyway, our waiter suggested we add a little hot sauce to it, and that was a great idea. I never would have thought of it. But the place was really loud. They, you know, have some service issues. They, as Megan said, they're still constantly training. It was slow.
And
but
what would you call the price point?
I was going to bring the menu and I didn't. It was reasonable. I mean, you could go from teens up into the 20s. You could have a strip steak. They had a gorgeous looking double Duroc pork chop that was in the 20s. But the sides are all $6 and they have lots of starters.
Mary, you didn't bring the menu, but in retrospect, what was the most unusual thing you saw on that menu?
Well, for Kansas City, I guess maybe some of the sides with the collard greens and things like that. They had some great-looking wings, you know, with the ranch and the hot sauce, which isn't unusual, but the way they were doing it, I think, was. But I think what Colby and Megan are doing, you know, everything's with a twist. So even if it's, you know, a hamburger, it's not just a hamburger, and the ribs are not just ribs, and they have pork shoulder with hominy and brisket with burnt ends, but just three barbecue items and then lots of different entrees.
And that is Rye at 10551 Mission Road in the Mission Farms Development. Thank you, Mary.
Yes. And then one last thing on that, which I don't want to forget, the desserts are fabulous. Megan, of course, is a pastry chef. Mm-hmm. We just tried. We were full, but we had to try something. We had the Meyer lemon meringue pie, and it was just puckery lemony. Mm-hmm. It was fabulous.
That's great.
Then next door to Rye is Tavern in Mission Farms. It's the sister restaurant to the Tavern in Prairie Village. It's at 10681 Mission Road. It used to be Zest, and then it was Avenue's Bistro, and then Kelly Manning took it over.
Is it the same menu as Avenue's in Prairie Village? The Tavern in Prairie Village?
I would guess 75% to 80% is the same. They have a few other items. But the mainstays, like the Santa Fe chicken salad that I love, are still there, and the pork porterhouse, that sort of thing. David Smuckler's drinks are there as well. And they brought in Jason Connor from Lydia's, who was the GM there. And
what a great guy.
Yeah. And he's doing a great job there, too. So Kelly has another hit on his hands,
I think. That's great. All right. Miss Gloria Gale with 435 Magazine.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I went to Cooper's Hawk, Winery and Restaurant, which is at 4686 Broadway. And
in the former 810 Zone space.
Yeah, right in back of Pottery Barn on the plaza. And it is a chain, but it's a winery and restaurant. And actually, it's the only location west of the Mississippi for them at the moment,
right,
which is interesting. I think they have about 11 to 12 restaurants all over the nation.
Mostly in the Midwest. Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought it was interesting. It's a very pretty restaurant. It's two-story. It's big. It's like 14,000 square feet. And you eat upstairs, and downstairs there's a tasting room where you can just go for any wine that you can find and just stand up. It's like being in a winery. And then they also have, it's all filled with gifty ideas surrounding the wine business downstairs. And then upstairs you can eat. And it's a very sleek, pretty restaurant. It opens out onto the plaza with big windows. And I actually went for lunch and I had the chopped chicken salad on a croissant. And it was delicious with lots of really great slaw on the side that had sort of an Asian, the soy Asian ginger.
Well, now let me ask you this, Gloria.
Yes.
What makes it a winery? Because they do not make wines there.
No, but they serve tons.
Well,
they don't make them there.
Right.
I mean, you can buy the bottles there.
Now, we should.
They have their own. I think.
Point out that the only wines they sell are their wines.
That's right.
Which are bottled in Illinois, I believe.
Yeah, I interviewed the sommelier. And he's in Illinois. They source all their grapes from the West Coast, mostly California.
Yeah.
And then they make them in Illinois.
So they don't have a vineyard, but they do have a winery.
Exactly.
Right.
And whatever means exactly.
Yeah. Okay. And they have a pretty full menu. They have gluten-free. They have a life balance menu. They have the regular menu with their entrees, burgers, and desserts, and the whole bit. We went on it was just after they opened, and so training was still in motion. And but, you know, you have to go with the flow on that.
Gloria, so. I went there not long after they opened, too, and I just have to say, I think a pretty full menu is an understatement. I feel like this is a massive menu.
It's a Cheesecake Factory type
it,
of
it
menu.
It is. It's a step up from the Cheesecake Factory, and the food was really good. But one thing that I noticed when I was there before is that it's the kind of place you can take anyone. So if have a big group of people and nobody can decide where to go if somebody wants Asian, there's Asian flavors. Somebody wants salads. Somebody wants ribs, go to Cooper's Hawk because there is really a lot to offer.
There is.
I would say, having eaten there three times myself now, that it is like the Cheesecake Factory in the sense that it has a very elaborate menu, which uses like the same five ingredients every dish. But it's an imaginative. It's much more imaginative than the Cheesecake Factory.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some clever choices, and there's some really good things on the menu. Mm-hmm.
And I like that they offer, because they are a winery, they have wine pairing suggestions on the menu, so it makes it easy if you
I found that to be sort of paint by number, you know, that it's for people who, you know, don't really drink a lot of wine. And wouldn't really be able to make, you know, decisions on their own.
Well, I drink a lot of wine, but when it comes to wine and food pairings, I usually just order what I like. So I will order a Pinot Grigio with a steak or with French fries.
Mm-hmm.
And so
well,
it's
people
nice
know what they like. But
it's nice to have a suggestion, I think.
Yeah.
And a lot of upscale restaurants are doing that now.
Sure.
Well, apparently this menu was created, the dishes were created to go with specific wines. So I thought it was nice. There's sort of a gimmicky quality to it, which is perfect for the Country Club Plaza.
And it's a definite step up over 810 Zone.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. I mean, it's the restaurant that always should have gone next to the Pottery Barn.
Right.
Anyway, we are taking your phone calls. If you want to weigh in on this, at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. And you had one more thing, Gloria?
Well, just a couple things. The Pig and Finch is at Park Place.
Pig and Finch.
Thank you. And it's in the old Trezzovino spot, and it is now open. It's a gastro pub, and that is at 100 and, roughly town center area, which is 119th between Rowe and Knoll.
Have you been?
Not yet. They just opened. And then the Parisi Cafe, which has another location down on Union Station, and it is a coffee shop, will open in Park Place, I think, January next Friday, a week from today, I believe. Don't hold me to that.
Okay. And we can't let this show go by without mentioning that beginning on January 18th is 10 days of glorious gluttonous eating here in Kansas City. It's a Kansas City Restaurant Week.
Right.
So
you
want
to explain, Emily, what exactly are the parameters of that?
So it's 120 restaurants participating this year. And so for Restaurant Week, the restaurants set a menu for lunch and dinner. Each is three courses, so you can choose from a smaller selection of either the regular menu or a special menu. So they'll have a few starters, mains, and dessert. $15 for lunch, $30 for dinner, no matter where you go,
Wow. Even
if you go to the American. So if you've been meaning to try the American, this is your chance to try it.
Now, do you have to have a card or
nothing?
Or
no. So you get, when you get to the restaurant, you can either order off of the regular menu. Most places still have their regular menu. Or you can choose to order off of the Restaurant Week menu. So even if you go with someone else who wants to order something off the regular menu, you can still order off of the Restaurant Week menu. So it's 120 restaurants in Kansas City participating.
All over the metro.
All over the metro area. I think maybe even into Lawrence. I'm not sure. But yeah, great restaurant. There's Grenauer. There's Graham & Dunn. Blue Stem. I mentioned the American. 801 Chop House. 75th Street Brewery, EBT, Extra Virgin, the list goes on and on. One of my favorites, Spin Pizza, Tavern at Mission Farms, Tavern in the Village, The Boot, The Capitol Grill.
Now, how long does this last?
So it's 10 days.
It starts on the 18th, which is what day is it goes, that?
It's 18th to the 27th.
18th is it's next Friday.
Yeah. And the other really important thing about it is that the proceeds it used to be just to Harvesters,
right.
But this year it's also to Greater Kansas City Restaurant Association Education Foundation, Kansas City Regional Destination Development Foundation, as well as Harvesters.
Yeah, so
10%. You're doing a good thing by going and eating out.
When you say proceeds, do you mean when I pay for my $30 dinner, a portion of that goes to those organizations?
Yes, 10% of every Restaurant Week menu ordered goes to this fund for these three organizations.
Very good. And you've got many days to participate in that.
So technically you could eat 20 Restaurant Week meals if you were brave and hungry.
And don't wait until the 18th to decide what you want to do, because these restaurants really fill up fast.
Yeah, make your reservations now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are there any, I don't know, are there any casual dining places mm-hmm. that are a part of the deal?
There are. One thing, though, I tell people is that, you know, use this time to go to really nice restaurants,
right.
because
mm-hmm.
I don't want to send anyone away from any restaurant because it's great, but I wouldn't use my Restaurant Week experience to eat at a place where I could spend $30 anyway.
Right.
But there are plenty of casual restaurants participating. I mentioned Spin Pizza earlier.
I think the point Emily was going to make, and I want to kind of elaborate on that, is that this gives people the opportunity to eat in a restaurant for $30 that the meal might normally cost, what, Emily, between $50 and $70?
You could, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Places that you normally couldn't afford or
right.
wouldn't
right.
think you should go except for a special
and
occasion.
And it's three courses, which is great. Oftentimes, you know, we'll go to a restaurant, get one thing and leave, and here you get to try a starter.
Is it typically a starter, meal and dessert?
It's always a starter, a main, and a dessert.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah. And you can find more information at kcrestaurantweek.com, and it's also on Facebook.
Thank you, Emily.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there's some healthy choices in there somewhere.
Plenty of healthy choices.
Because we are going to be talking about, after the break, not necessarily places to go to, because every place has at least one healthy dish, I would think, although not the places I've been going to lately. But making healthy choices for the year 2013, and I think we all want to eat a little bit more healthy. It's my resolution. We'll see if I can stick to it. And we are taking phone calls at 816-235-2888 or emails to centralstandard at kcur.org or tweets to
@KCURCST.
And I guess we should get the ball rolling here, because we want to know where you go. You know, when people go out to eat, they don't necessarily want to eat healthy. You know, the theory being, well, I can have, you know, a veggie burger at home, or I could have a salad at home, and when I go out to eat, I want to splurge a little bit. But is there a way to eat healthy and imaginative and interesting to have some things maybe you wouldn't make at home? And certainly some of the vegan restaurants would be like Food,
mm-hmm.
at 17th,
food
at 17th and Summit.
Mm-hmm. And I think that raises a question of what is healthy to you. So for some people, healthy is eating vegan. For some people, it's eating dairy-free. For some people, it's eating gluten-free.
Or for some people, it's, you know, no fried foods, no cheeseburgers,
No beef.
No desserts, mm-hmm. you know.
Right. So. Or organic.
Yeah, organic and local.
Yeah, and if you ask about, is this organic in one of these restaurants, it's an interesting dilemma because a lot of times they don't know.
And a lot of times something's local and was raised organically but doesn't have USDA organic certification.
That's right. And it gets very confusing. Now, if you go to, like, the farmhouse, they're purported to be all organic.
And that's
mostly organic, I should say.
And that's one of the farmhouse in the River Market is a great example of a healthy local restaurant because they list their farmers on a big board in the dining room. And even the Rieger at 20th and Main, which I don't order healthily when I go there, but they have all of their purveyors listed in the back of their menu. And it's really nice to see where the food is coming
from.
As
does Room 39. Ted does that, too.
You know, I've been trying in the reviews I write for The Pitch to make a concerted effort to, if a restaurant has a halfway decent selection of meatless dishes for our vegetarian readers, and, you know, sometimes they don't. A lot of times they don't, actually. And when I went to Cooper's Hawk, which we were talking about earlier, on the plaza, there's not a lot of meatless dishes there. I mean, there's the typical things you would expect. There are salads, and there's, I believe, a black bean burger.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a couple pasta dishes that I tried, and they have a gnocchi in a creamy pomodoro sauce that, you know, would probably – it wouldn't be vegan because I think it does have cream in it.
But it is, never roasted an eggplant ravioli.
I tried that. I was not overwhelmed with that.
No. But gnocchi and a creamy sauce is not exactly what I would call healthy eating.
No, that's what I was going to say. Right. It is meatless, but it is so rich and so fattening. Of course, that's why I loved it. But so there is, you know, there's a point to be made.
Well, and a lot of times people think, oh, I'll have a salad. But they're having, you know, a dressing on it that's 1,000 calories.
Exactly. And bacon and cheese.
Exactly.
It can
be more.
You mean bacon's
more.
Not vegan?
I think it is. Some bacon probably is, actually. But again, that gets back to what your idea of healthy is. And with a salad, you can have it. I feel like I often, you know, if I have macaroni and cheese and I have a salad, it sort of cancels it out. If you have a salad piled high with vegetables and I happen to put gorgonzola and bacon and a lot of dressing on it, you're still at least getting some nutrients out of it.
Well, it's interesting because Seasons 52, for example, doesn't put bread on their table. You have to actually ask for it and order it. And so it's an order, I think. They don't just automatically bring it because they have a 475 calorie. That's their limit on most of their dishes. And you can beef that up, pardon the pun.
And have.
But otherwise, you can eat, you know, relatively
healthily. Let me ask you this, since before we venture too far away. I mean, you know, bread and butter are probably the worst things to have health-wise. But what did you think of the pretzel bread at Cooper's Hawk?
Oh.
Delish.
Man.
Huh?
There's another O coming from the side of the room.
Yes.
Pretzel bread is on almost every table these days.
That's,
you know,
as
Farrah
trendy
does
as, pork bellies, which you find everywhere.
And I will say this. Cooper's Hawk has, as an appetizer, Asian barbecue pork belly.
So does
nachos.
Nachos.
Yeah.
And they were delicious.
I had those.
They were good.
After the pretzel
Providence
bread.
Has a pork belly dish that's just
which
terrific.
Is pork belly is the antithesis of healthy eating.
Exactly. That's so true.
Unless you are eating a low-carb, high-fat, high-protein diet, in which case it might not be so bad.
Well, I am once again going to encourage our listeners who are listening to us on KCOR to call us because we are getting ready to take a break at 816-235-2888. Tell us where you go for delicious but healthy eating so we can share it with everybody for 2013. On Central Standard Friday, the Food Critics Edition. I'm Charles Ferruzzo at The Pitch, here with you with Mary Block from Around the Block blog, Gloria Gale from 435 Magazine. Am I getting that right?
I think so, yes.
And the lovely and talented and newly married Emily Ferris, who does many things, but most. Talk about your blog.
Feedmekc.com.
Great.
And we have a podcast, which you can also find at FeedmeKC and on iTunes.
Let me ask you this, and we are starting to get phone calls at 816-235-2888. 816-235-2888. Does this sound like a healthy meal to you? I've gotten this several times at Bowling's thinking it was healthy, but maybe it's not. Vegetable fried rice in pineapple.
Not even close.
There you go. Carbs on carbs.
It just sounded so healthy to me.
And yeah, fried right. rice.
And pineapple.
As in fried.
Yeah. And it's served in a pineapple, right?
Right.
And pineapple might be the most unhealthy sugary fruit.
Is it really?
I don't know. It's full of sugar, though.
Yeah.
Well, no wonder
sweet
I like it
wonderful
so much.
Yeah.
We are taking your calls. And let's go to Steve in Hyde Park. Are you with us?
I certainly am, yes. Off the top, in terms of healthy eating, well, little background, I'm a vegetarian, my wife's a vegan, so we are constantly on the alert for great places for people like us to eat. Under our nose for, I guess, nearly a year was a place called Bread for All at 536 Westport. It's across from the Gold's Gym. My wife brought home the falafel appetizer couple of days back. The next day found us in line there to have a whole meal based just on the quality of the falafel appetizer. And I do want to call it Mediterranean fusion. I'm not sure that's what the owner calls it, but he even had trouble putting a label on it. It's heavily influenced by sort of Eastern Mediterranean cooking. You can draw that from the falafel, I'm sure, which is served, by the way, with fresh onions and fresh sliced tomatoes, a wonderful combination, and also a very nice, I think it's a tahini-based dressing for the falafel.
Now, Stevie, not mention the fact that the reason it's called Bread for All is that they make their own tandoori bread.
Yes. It started out as a
sandwich
bakery,
shop. Yeah, yeah.
And they've moved along. Their breads, their naan particularly, are going to be a little bit of a surprise to someone who is used to hearing naan attached to Indian food.
Right.
It's more the Mediterranean-style naan. But wonderful stuff overall, and one must give a special kudo to the lentil soup.
It is delicious.
Oh. Yeah, the owner states this is a work in progress, although he feels like he's really reached a sweet spot. And I would urge anyone going there to take as much of that lentil soup as you can afford, because it's terrific. Yes. Service is fast. The place is stunningly clean. Everybody is helpful. And the list is long of things that we are learning they do just about as well as anybody.
Hey, Steve, that's great. And that is Bread for All. It's in Westport. And it's, a great new restaurant for Westport. Has anyone else been there?
No, I always get stopped up by a New Peking, which is in that same strip,
that's
which
right.
I feel like I bring up on every show. But that reminds me, they offer, I think, like a diet menu that's you can order just lots of fresh vegetables, and they'll bring out vegetables and rice.
Well, Bread for All is great in the sense that you could actually make a very inexpensive but actually very healthy meal just on the bread and the lentil soup. Maybe high in carbohydrates.
Yeah, that wheat belly doctor would tell you differently.
Yeah.
But, you know, right there in that whole center is the new Freebirds World Bistro.
Oh.
And that and Chipotle, you know, if you don't get the tortilla and you do
a
salad,
yeah,
no rice, and use salsa instead of dressing, it's really a very healthy meal.
We are asking you this edition of the Central Standard Friday Food Show, where you go to eat healthily. You don't have to necessarily be a vegetarian or vegan, but we want to know where you go to eat more healthy than you might usually do. Here is Jennifer in Lee Summit.
Hi.
Hi, Jennifer.
I love your conversation. It's a really fresh topic on my mind right now. I'm actually driving to the gym to work out, and I'm trying to lose baby weight from two children. And I'm 43. And my husband and I live in Lee Summit. We drive all over the city looking for good food. What we found, I've read two books by Gary Tobe, which is Calories In, Calories Out, is his first book, New York Times bestseller list, and then also Why We Get Fat. And it was very informative about...
I don't need a book to tell me why I get fat.
Well, there are some explanations that you may not be aware of. And for
Uh-oh.
Did we lose Jennifer?
She went under a bridge.
Yeah.
My body position is such that I was doing
Oh, Jennifer, you're going to have to call us back. I think we've lost you, but you are welcome to call us back at 816-235-2888. You know, I've got to tell you, I don't read diet books and healthy eating books. I probably should. But, you know, after I read them, I just want to get a box of Little Debbie snack cakes.
I read them, Charles, and I do well for one day, and then I...
It's so hard.
Pick up Bon Appetit.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it's all over.
Right.
Let's go to Sharon in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Sharon.
Hi. I'm probably one of the most challenged and healthy eaters in maybe almost the world. I do Dr. Dean Ornish's heart disease reversal diet. Right. With no added fats and no salt, no added salt. Anyway, but I find if I go to places like Bowling's or Lulu's or most Asian restaurants that they will prepare vegetables, and then you need to add that you want soft tofu for the protein, otherwise you'll get fried tofu. But and also some coaching as to what kind of spices and taste things to add to them, because really eating just plain steamed veggies all the time is not exactly a really delicious diet.
Well,
anyway,
Sharon, am I correct that you have high cholesterol or a heart issue?
Well, I don't, but I have a condition in which I should have very, very low.
Okay.
This is I basically eat an Asian diet with no added oils.
Okay.
So a lot of things I'll ask no added salt. So I'll ask them to add pineapple, if they have pineapple to it, and onions, garlic, cilantro, and they're usually very, very responsive. And absolutely, like when they do a stir fry, use water instead of oil.
Now, Sharon, let me ask you this. Have you ever, let's say you are at a non-Asian restaurant, maybe a more traditional American restaurant. Do you find them accommodating if you need to make a lot of special requests?
Usually I do. In fact, I found that, my requests are pretty rigid in a way, but I found that I developed really good relationships with the wait staff and the chef through the wait staff very often. Sometimes the chef will even come out. And there could be a lot of education, even about what oil is.
Right.
Because now and then I'll get a dish and I'll say no oil, and it's blobs of oil floating in this. Like, oh, we only put butter in it.
Great. Well, Sharon, hey, good luck. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Those are all great ideas.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
And a restricted diet like that makes me think of one of my favorite places to get lunch is The Mix.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
yeah.
There's one in Power and Light and one on the plaza near the library, and you stand in a line and pick out your ingredient. There are a few salads that I love, like the Garden of Eden, which I'm sure is not mm-hmm. incredibly healthy because the sweet dressing is delicious. But you can pick out your
on
greens.
On the side.
You can pick out whatever greens you want. They have kale. They have Napa cabbage. They have lots of different greens and whatever toppings you want. And they range from raw almonds to roasted, salted, candied nuts. Mm-hmm. And you can get your dressing on the side. And whatever restrictions you have, a place like that will really help.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you can go through Unforked.
Yeah.
Which is off of Metcalf at 119th, and go through their drive-in and get their kale salad.
Love
how many places
salad.
Can you get a salad through a drive-through?
Yep. And kale is
terrific. Now they do have a delicious dressing on it, but I can't imagine eating it without it because I think it's massaged into the kale.
It's how the kale is
kind of
cooked,
right? But it is delicious.
Mm. All right, we're talking about healthy eating here. And the telephone number is 816-235-2888. Where do you go to eat healthily if you have dietary restrictions? You know, dietary restrictions used to be, it used to make eating out almost impossible for a lot of people. That's changed a lot. I think kitchens are a lot more accessible and a lot more willing to make, not often on weekends, though, but it's a lot more easy, I think, to eat out and have a restricted diet than it ever was at any time that I can remember. I used to work for I was a waiter for an Italian restaurant in Midtown, and a woman came in and said, I'm allergic to garlic. What can I have here?
Oh, boy.
I told her the ice cream.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So 816-235-2888. Let's see. Kathy called to recommend the film Hunger for Change. found it really informative. I have not seen that. Have you?
I haven't either.
Mm-hmm. So anything with hunger, and I'm happy to watch. Mm-hmm. Where do you go if you're really watching your weight?
Well, I got to tell you, you really have a hard time eating out, because I do think they put in some additives that make you want to eat more, like the MSG or whatever, to enhance the flavors. But if you go to places like Whole Foods where you can design your own what you're going to eat, right. I think it's better. But two slices and a muffin isn't going to cut it, so which is what I had last night. But anyway, you know, they do have they have vegan stuff there. You know, that you can just pull right from the case. Yeah. And so I would – that's better because you can think about it. So much of this is spontaneous when you go to a restaurant. I'll have the burger that's bigger than my head.
Right.
And there are things you can do at a restaurant. You just ask for your dressing on the side. And
eat it with a fork and dip it with a fork.
Right, and don't get the bread basket.
Yeah, exactly.
Or maybe don't get the bun on the burger. I've not done that yet, but I would be willing to consider it.
You know, one thing that's helped me is I last February, I gave up wheat for a month.
Wow.
And so
did you notice a change afterwards?
I felt a lot better. And whenever I reintroduce it, I don't feel good. And I think I probably, like most people, have somewhat of a wheat intolerance. And I still eat it when it's worth it. But giving up bread for a month really changed the way that I order when I go out to eat. And so I don't order sandwiches. I don't eat the bread basket. And I don't order pizza. So when I go out to eat, I make a conscious decision to order things that aren't loaded up with bread. And while I haven't lost a lot of weight or anything, because I probably made up for it with pork belly, I'm definitely eating less bread. And I think everyone's different, but for me, it took sort of a cold turkey to ease back into having fewer carbs when I go out.
And, you know, I think that's an excellent idea for people, too. If you think possibly you may have a lactose issue or a wheat issue or some kind of food allergy, go ahead and test yourself. I mean, just drop it from your diet for a month and see what happens.
Yeah.
Let's go. Here I am playing doctor. I have no right
to
do
that. Welcome to the Dr. Oz show.
Let's go to Lonnie. Lonnie in Prairie Village.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Lonnie. What's up?
I just wanted to tell you about my favorite place to eat. It's actually my house. My wife is a professional chef. We since have had four kids, and both of us have gained some baby weight. A little disclaimer, when I first met her, I'm 6'3", and when I met her, I weighed 170 pounds.
Wow.
In the course of a few years, I went up to about 225, and in the past year, I've gone from 225 down to 195, which is a comfortable weight, I think, for me.
Yeah.
Now, we've stopped eating all processed food. Any bread that we bring in the house, she makes it. Baguettes, ciabatta, you name it, anything. Yogurts, we're big on yogurt. Kefir, she makes all of her own cheeses, makes all of her own wine.
Now, I have to tell you, though, Lonnie, you and your wife are truly the exceptions to the rule as far as our listeners go. So let me ask you, what do you eat out when you go out?
Well, just in November, we went out for our anniversary, and we ate at a restaurant. I really don't want to say the name, that name, because it's a good restaurant, but just everything seems over-salted, over-seasoned, like they're trying too hard. And the portions were just so huge. We were like, there's no way. I mean, I felt like I was just tossing everything away just because it wasn't – it was just too much. And you think, you know, this would be enough for four people, let alone just us.
Right. Let me ask you this, because your wife is a chef. I feel that Midwestern restaurants tend to be heavy on the salt shaker anyway. And I'm somebody who does not ever salt my food because I find most food in restaurants, at least
in
Kansas City, to be so salty. Does your wife feel that way as well?
Absolutely. I think it has a lot with her German upbringing. She has a very traditional German family in Canada, and they don't go heavy on the seasoning. And I've actually changed my eating habits because of her quite a bit. I taste everything before I salt it. I used to just immediately go for the salt shaker and pepper shaker and put it on my food before I ever taste it. I've stopped doing that. And I used to work in fine dining restaurants, so it's kind of sad that it's gotten to that point. But it just seems like, you know, after a whole year of not eating out, and then you go out and eat, it's insane the amount of salt and sugars and processed stuff that you find in your food. And you can taste the chemicals after a while, if you know what I mean.
Right. Hey, thank you so much. That's Lonnie in Prairie Village. We are taking your phone calls at 816-235-2888, 816-235-2888. We've gotten quite a few things on the internet here. And they sort of touch on what Lonnie was saying. Kate writes on Facebook, if the serving size is huge, I either put aside half of what I'm served first or ask for a box before I even begin my meal to put some aside. That's actually a smart technique. Mm-hmm. This way I'm not as tempted to overeat. Jennifer adds, plates of sides from the Blue Moose in Prairie Village. I usually get whipped cauliflower, green beans, and grilled zucchini. I just recently was at the new restaurant in the Marriott Hotel downtown. I think it's called Metropolitan KC. It's nice. Mm-hmm. And as a side dish, they had mashed cauliflower, which I thought was going to be awful. It was delicious.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm not a big cauliflower fan. Mm-hmm. Courtney recommends on Twitter, ask for all the sauces or dressings on the side. It will cut way back on sodium.
Mm-hmm.
All good tips.
Yep.
And you're welcome to tweet us at?
At KCURCST. So there was someone who emailed in about the portions. I was actually just about to say that too. I was thinking about it because last night we were talking at my house about how we eat a container full of whatever we get. So if I get a small bag of chips, I'll eat the bag and feel full. And if I get a big bag of chips, I won't feel full until I eat every last chip in that big bag. And so it's really smart to put away half of your food.
Even before you eat, yeah.
And you'll save calories and you'll save money and you'll have a delicious lunch for the next day.
Yeah, and another thing is, talk about soups, because soups will fill you up if they're not the cream, you know, and a really heavy bisque. But if you're soups will do it. Like if you go to an Asian restaurant or a Thai restaurant and get one of their vegetable, seafood, whatever they are, you're full.
It's interesting you should say that, Gloria, because there was some statistics done during the Depression and the war years that housewives learned that by serving a soup dish before the meal, they could have smaller portions on the meal because people were filled up by soup. So that's a good point.
Yeah.
Let's go to Stacy in Lee Summit. Stacy, how are you?
I'm doing well. And you?
Good.
Good. When I want to eat something fresh and tasty, I go to one of two places, the Fig Tree Cafe and Bakery in Lee Summit.
They've got great desserts that, unfortunately, are probably not so healthy.
Well, one of my favorites there is the Mediterranean salad. And honestly, I feel like if we could get fresh food like that all the time, we wouldn't be obese because we wouldn't be always looking for something else.
Now, we should say that is a predominantly Mediterranean menu there, correct?
Yes. But everything I've had there... The salads, the sandwiches, the omelets, they have just everything is fresh and so tasty. It, you know,
now,
it's like getting fresh tomatoes out of the garden in the summer. That's
Stacy, if you could tell me where I could find a healthy omelet, I will be your best friend because omelets, I think, are one of the most fattening things you could order.
I feel like they're so healthy. You get eggs and you fill them with vegetables and a little bit of cheese and a little bit of oil.
Well, see, I prefer...
A lot of
less vegetables and a lot more cheese.
And wrap it in bacon.
Yeah. Right. I'm not a bacon guy, but yes. Okay. Hey, thank you, Stacy, and I do like that restaurant. Stacy, do you know what the address of it is?
I do not know, but it's at 291 and really close to between Chipman and
Douglas, right?
It's at 817 Northeast Rice Road.
Right. And if you've not been there, it's a real fun place. Emily in Kansas City, Missouri.
Hi,
Emily. What's up?
Hi. Well, I just wanted to say, as a personal trainer, I try really hard when I go out to eat, for the most part, to pick a healthy restaurant. So I really enjoy Mexican food, and there's a few restaurants that are careful about, I think, not using too much salt. And generally, if you order something like fajitas and stay away from the chips and salsa and, you know, guacamole, sour cream, things like that, sometimes guacamole can be like a healthier fat, but those will be lower calorie options that you can do when you go to a Mexican restaurant. So you can still order out and participate with everyone without taking on a lot of extra calories.
Now, what would be the healthiest thing I could order in a Mexican restaurant, Emily?
I would say, fajitas are usually the best way to go because if, you know, you can choose whether or not to eat the rice, but usually black beans or, I mean, even maybe refried beans. It depends on what they have.
Maybe a fish fajita.
Fresh fajitas. A lot of times on menu you can find like mahi-mahi or something like that in the fajitas, or chicken, and both of those would be a little bit lower fat option.
But aren't those vegetables and meats cooked in oil?
Mm-hmm. Sure, no, of course. And I mean, I would say if it's grilled, you could ask for them not to include like extra sauces and things.
Okay.
And I mean, if you could also check and make sure that they just saute it in maybe like a lighter vegetable oil or olive oil, and then that way it wouldn't be quite as heavy. So it's still a little bit going to be on the maybe greasier side, but on the whole, it's going to be a lot better than enchilada wrapped in cheese. So.
Now, Emily, seriously, all kidding aside, what is your theory about fried ice cream?
About fried ice cream? I don't eat fried ice cream, so I would say that would be a little bit of an indulgence if you're trying to go. That'd be your cheat for the week, would be fried ice cream. So
I don't know why you even said that. Hey, thank you, Emily.
Good for her. I lose all control at a Mexican restaurant.
But I think if you stay away from the Tex-Mex restaurants that have the cheese and sour cream and do more
That's
authentic,
right.
It's going to be healthier.
Fritas.
Cherie adds on Facebook, do not be afraid to ask restaurants to prepare an item differently than presented on the menu. Now, that being said, having worked in many restaurants, that's probably not a good idea to do on a very, very busy weekend night.
Right.
But on a slower night, I think that's fair game, you know, if you're not asking too many substitutions.
Right.
What's the most outrageous thing you've ever asked in a restaurant?
I generally don't.
Really?
No, not really. I mean, I usually want to try what they're having. I mean, I don't go overboard.
No.
Much. But, no, I can't think of that there's anything outrageous.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary, do you, because you're our French fry aficionado here, when you bite into a French fry, can you tell if it's been fried in lard or not?
Oh, wow.
No, but you usually can tell if it's been fried in duck fat versus just basic oil.
Yeah, well, okay.
Talk about outrageous things at restaurants. My indulgence is fries. Extra crispy.
Yeah.
And I ask for mayonnaise to dip them. So not only am I dipping them in the high fructose corn syrup ketchup, but I'm mixing it with mayonnaise and they've been fried longer in oil. But I don't do it all the time. I just, that's my, when I eat out.
Well, if you're going to go eat them, you might as well eat them crispy.
Right.
Matthew on Twitter suggests I want to mention Genghis Khan.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, you know, a Mongolian grill place. Uh-huh. You can eat as healthy as you want. You have the option of all those veggies and you get to pick your sauce.
And every one of those sauces has so much sodium in it.
That's true.
That's true, but you could go without the sauces.
Yeah,
and
if
just
you go without
oil,
the sauce, lemon. You're okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I always try to make a sauce and it ends up not tasting very good.
Okay.
You know, I don't go to those Mongolian grill places very often, but I will say this. You can make some healthy choices there. I'm a little wary of them because of all the frozen meats.
But also, fish. I mean, if you can get fresh fish, that's really going to knock off calories if it isn't fried.
Right. And it's really fresh fish is so good for your heart.
Yep.
So who's having
fish, can I have a moment of silence here for my favorite fried fish place closed this last couple of weeks, Queen Lizzie's Fish and Chips in Lawrence.
There you go.
Since I've given up fried fish or fried foods anyway, or I'm trying to, I guess I won't be eating deep fried fish. Mm-hmm. At least for 11 more months.
Well,
maybe they'll magically reopen on New Year's.
Well, who has really good fresh fish that we can
I know the farmhouse in the River Market. I don't know about their cuts of fish, but they fly in their oysters when they do oysters. Wow. So they fly them in that day. So they're fresh that day.
Uh-huh. Well, and of course, you know, the Bristol and McCormick and Schmick, and they always have a long list. But all the upscale restaurants
have some kind of good fish.
And their fish is very fresh.
This is not eating out, but I know that the Hen House in Fairway, I don't know about the rest of them, they have sushi-grade fish at their fish counter. So that's where we like to buy our fish if we're going to cook it at home.
Mm-hmm. Like raw sushi and all of their fish.
Yeah, but all of their fish is very high quality.
I guess that would eliminate fish sticks from this conversation.
That's right.
But you mentioned sushi, and mm-hmm. that's a, you know, sashimi.
Definitely.
If you don't have the rice, that's a great choice.
Right,
Charles. That's funny because fish sticks, frozen food, we think not very mm-hmm. good for you. But I've heard that fresh or frozen vegetables are actually healthier for you sometimes than fresh vegetables because of they're picked
flesh.
At their peak and then flash frozen.
Right,
and they don't lose nutrients.
No, because they're as long as you don't leave them frozen too long, they're frozen at the peak of their mm-hmm. healthfulness.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So you can have your frozen peas, just not your fish sticks.
That's right. And I think some of the, like McDonald's fish on a bun is more caloric than their
probably.
Beef.
But that reminds me, actually, Trader Joe's has really good frozen fish.
So yes, they do.
Have some frozen fish and frozen peas for health and happiness in 2013.
That's right.
I imagine in a place like that, which is sort of an upscale grocery store, there's a lot of interesting frozen foods to buy. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I want to thank Gloria Gale, Mary Block, and Emily Ferris, the newly married Emily Ferris, for being with us. Our show is produced today by Matthew Long Middleton. Our announcer is Kim Noble. And I want to thank everybody who called in. Remember, you can find a list of all of the restaurants we mentioned today at kcur.org, Central Standard Friday, and archival recordings and podcasts of all of our previous shows. Up to Date is next with art critic reviews of independent art and foreign films. I'm Charles Furza. This is Central Standard Friday. Enjoy your day.